When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
I'm Tom Cliff, creator of the world-famous online stand-up bingo, which started out its life at Northampton Town Football Club. Join me every Saturday at 2:15pm on the Cafe Track Facebook page for your chance to be crowned stand-up bingo champion of the world. Every ticket purchased goes towards keeping Cafe Track and Track NN a social enterprise dedicated to helping people to access work experience and hopefully employment. Buy your ticket now at buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack. Make sure you leave your chosen 15 numbers between 1 and 90 in the comment section and then play along live on the Saturday afternoons before the Cobblers game. So go to buymeacoffee.com/cafetrack now and get your ticket for the world famous stand-up bingo.
Well, at least we scored. Hello, Cobblers fans. Welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. Neil and Danny are here. Matt Sammons is here. I'm Charles Commons and I'm here too. The Cobblers weren't great. There's a new European Super League on the cards and we're all buying season tickets to the NTFC women next year as they romp to a 9-1 win.
Rain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Yes, hello, we're back once again, like the Renegade Master, trying to lift your spirits after yet another defeat in the Nen Derby. On the bright side, though, we probably won't have to play that blue lot again for a few years, so... There's always that, isn't there? For a minute, Matt, welcome, by the way. I actually thought we had a chance.
Yeah, I think everybody watching probably did at some point. It just all went wrong, didn't it?
Oh, half time happened.
I think their game plan was quite clear from the start. I think they were just going to keep the ball for most of the first half, which they did, try and just wear us out, and I think that's kind of what they did, and then they just came at us, and their quality got the better of us in the end. I suppose you could say quality, the penalty, they didn't really have to do much to get it, and then the first and second goals we probably defended quite poorly, so yeah, I think they're just miles ahead of us, aren't they? So it's all we can do.
Quite poorly. I think Neil probably has better descriptive words than that, don't you, Neil?
I think a damning sign of this is of where we are as a football club on the pitch and probably off the pitch as well. But that's probably for a later conversation. But a damning sign of where we are on the football pitch is the amount of people that didn't bother to pay £10 to watch a local derby, myself included, by the way. But there's loads of people that just didn't even bother. And you knew what was going to happen. That's the thing. And I know I had it on the radio because I still care, obviously, but it was obvious we were going to lose. And I know you guys were saying first half performance wasn't too bad and stuff, but you just knew what was going to happen. It's the same old stuff that's been around all season. So it's poorly or pretty poorly, whatever it was that Matt said, is a very nice way of saying they're a bag of shit, isn't it?
The thing that surprised, like, you're right. So I wasn't going to pay it.
You got caught up in the razzmatazz, Charles. You almost, very almost, reeled me in.
I did. The thing was, and I said this to my dad, because my dad, I sent him a screenshot, a picture of my living room with the game on the TV. And he replied saying, I thought you weren't going to watch. And I replied to him just simply saying, I couldn't bear the thought of, as unlikely as it is, I can't bear the thought of us winning and me not having seen it happen. That was what it was. I couldn't live with myself almost. If we'd have won that game and I'd not watched it, then I'd feel like, I would feel terrible. I'd probably have felt worse than I do having watched it and seen us lose. And I know that's really, really weird or dramatic or whatever, but it probably is true. I think I would have felt awful if we'd have won it and I'd not seen it. So that's why I did it. Plus, you know, there's a podcast I have to make every week. You know, it helps if you watch the game.
You know what it was sometimes on the day, Charles, right? Mm. I couldn't watch it because I was down in Darkest Pool, so I only had kind of access to a pretty dodgy 3G commentary, so I didn't want to pay a tenner to get nothing. But
Wheel of Death.
Exactly. I listened to the preview show that you did with those two lovely lads from Posh.
Oh, God.
And as soon as I heard that, I was like, I was like, I wanted to watch that game because they wound me up so much that I wanted to watch it. And I was like,
means we'll win. Oh, the science. No, shut up.
The 7:45 kickoff benefiting the superior fitness of the Posh players. That was a good one. They're not going to come back on again anytime soon, are they? So,
oh God, no. It won't be happening again. I felt so dirty during that whole recording.
It's funny you say horrible. That. I can see who's in the green room right now.
Do you know what? I was in two minds as to whether to actually release it. And the only reason I did was that I thought, no, I've got to have some integrity here in terms of being a professional podcaster. You know, just because I don't necessarily feel 100% comfortable with it doesn't mean that it shouldn't go out. And I just kind of went, that's what we've got. That's what we'll put out. And I did, like a few people, it kind of worked in the opposite way because I was really worried that people were going to be like, you know, why have you just taken it lined up? Because I didn't know what to say without actually turning on my anger and my vitriol, my pure hatred towards Peterborough United. And I thought, I can't do that. So I just sort of sat there in silence and sort of gave nervous giggles, or, you know, what some people have translated, if you like, as being like me sort of just laughing at them for saying ridiculous stuff, which, you know, the whole thing, of, like you mentioned there, Matt, the science behind having a later kickoff and all this bollocks as it was.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, so basically, I asked. He said
Neil, we need to do a podcast where you interview them because that's just gold waiting to happen.
Shut up, you Benz. What are you on about?
He said basically, he started saying, I asked them why they'd asked for a 7:45 kickoff rather than the 7 p.m. that was originally agreed. And he turned around and said that he didn't know, and then started to proceed to talk some bollocks about how playing later in the evening will mean that they'll sweat less because it won't be as hot.
What? How did you not go into them?
Well, I'm too nice, I think, is the answer.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, so I did feel a bit...
I mean, they were right. They weren't they?
What, they sweated less.
They didn't need to sweat at all to beat us, did they?
They didn't need to get out of first gear, did they?
Yeah. Do you know, though, in the first half, and I realised that me and Matt, you watched it, didn't you, Matt? Yeah, so I mean, it's only us two that actually saw it. I know you two listened to it. But I was actually relatively surprised at how well we seemed to be playing in that first, well, up until the first goal was scored. Yes, we looked prone to that ball over the top, especially on our left-hand side with Mills, who just seemed to not really give a shit where his man was at any point, let alone decide to have a look.
Careful, Danny's going to get angry.
I don't care. he's a left-back. He should know where his man is, and he didn't at any point during the whole game, I don't think. But anyway, but in terms of the way that we were playing it around, I actually thought, I was like, going, this looks quite good. You know, I'm on from a 0-0 here, because we still look toothless up front. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like we were creating 1,000 chances, but it just, we looked comfortable. And then they scored one of the easiest goals that, you know, well, I was going to say that I've ever seen, but I'm a Cobblers fan. So that's every week I see easy goals get scored against us at the moment. Like we've said before, it's the hope that kills you, isn't it, Danny?
Yeah. But you build yourself up again, don't you? And you get into the place where you convince yourself that we're going to get something from the game. Mm-hmm. And then
if you're an idiot,
just falls apart. Yeah, exactly. And I am. As you rightly know. But you think, oh, you know, maybe they'll have a player sent off. Maybe we'll get a deflection in off someone's arse or something. But it's just not happening, is it? Especially against a team like that. It's the same as Hull the other week, wasn't it? They've got that extra bit of quality that we can't cope with. And we're miles apart. It was as if we were two or three divisions below them.
It sounded like, isn't it? It did sound like a championship team against a League Two team.
Yeah, sure.
Their second goal straight after half time sums up everything that's you know, wrong with the players' ability, if you like, in our squad, because it was literally like watching a bunch of professional footballers taking on a bunch of under sevens. Oh, I'm just going to dink this up over your head and then walk it into the goal. Like, you don't exist. I mean, it was like, not even schoolyard stuff. It was in the back garden with your dad who doesn't want to lose and won't ever let you win kind of stuff. It was horrible. I mean, you guys listened to John Brady at the end of the game. I know when we were chatting on WhatsApp, I don't think any of us were particularly happy, Neil. I think it's the term of... you can't fault the commitment is starting to do your head in, isn't it?
Oh, I'll tell you what. They've got it all wrong, surprisingly, to say that about Cobblers, I know. usually they get everything so right. But they have. They've got it all wrong. This narrative, and I know it frustrates you as well, Charles, because we spoke about it on WhatsApp, but this narrative that, well, they're giving it their all. But why does that get called out? That's their job. That's what they're paid for. They're paid to give it their all. Like, there was never a question. But I could understand it, I think, if, you know, under previous managers in the past and stuff, I think there has been that question, well, have they stopped playing for the manager and they're perhaps not giving their all and stuff. They've bluffed it. But that didn't happen with Keith Curl. They were still giving it their all, to coin the term and stuff. So I don't get this narrative that, well, you know, we've got to give them some credit because they're trying their best. Why have we got to give them some credit? That's their job. That's what they're paid to do. They're paid to try their best. If I work in an office environment, which is obviously nowhere near comparable to a professional football situation, but if I went into my one-to-one and my boss was like, how do you think you're doing? And I was like, well, I'm giving him my best. They'd be like, what the fuck? What are you on about, knobhead? I just don't get it. I just don't understand. It's essentially what it is. It's a way of saying they're crap. Sorry. Yes, I'd rather they came out and said it and just hold your hands up and say, they're not good enough. We're trying some different things. We're trying to get the best out of them. They're simply not good enough. And I know you can't say that because there'll be a mutiny on from players, but maybe players have too much control anyway. Maybe some of them need to hear some home truths. I don't know.
It's a defence thing, isn't it? It's like complete, I'm going to come out and defend the team no matter what. And it's just getting to the point, especially in the derby game. I didn't like that. Any of the after the game interviews, it just didn't feel like a derby just happened and we just lost a derby. Like it was just like, even who was it? Fraser Horsfall and Neil, I think, came out after the game to do an interview as well. And it was just like, yeah, you know, we put our efforts in, gotta give it over. We go again, Even like Brady said, we go again.
Oh.
And it was so formulaic and just you've just lost a derby. You've got to understand the importance of that derby. And I didn't feel like, it felt like just another game and just like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, they're better than us, but we tried kind of thing. It's not good enough from the point of view of a fan watching that we can't be at the game to let our anger and frustration again. And we've said it time and time again, it's not good enough. There's not an understanding of what that history is.
The problem is as well, right, the narrative that, well, they're trying their hardest, to be honest, it doesn't come across that way anyway. If I'm honest, and I know I didn't watch on Friday, so I can't really talk about the Peterborough game. But do you remember Ryan Gilligan?
I do remember Ryan Gilligan. Yes,
who does not remember Ryan Gilligan?
Fireworks at Grimsby.
Actually, yeah. probably Jeffy, because it was probably
Jeffy.
He was like 3 years old.
Matt, do you remember Ryan Gilligan?
I remember his name. Yeah, I don't remember anything that he ever did.
Oh. Well, you remember Ryan Gilligan then?
Yeah. That's true.
Hey, that was that one time he got on the end of a Bayo header. Come on,
he had a great season, didn't he? Off Bayo. But my point about Ryan Gilligan is he wasn't the most talented player. Let's be honest. He was a nice guy. He wasn't the most talented player. He didn't really do that much. He scored a few goals off. Like,
fell out with Jefferson Lake. Yeah,
he rode on Bayo, didn't he? A little bit. Which is fine. But you could always tell he was trying. He ran around, and I know, you know, look, you need more than just running around and tearing around and chasing people down and all that sort of stuff. But he did that. And Scott McLeish, like, he was a great striker. I'm not questioning Scott McLeish's ability to put the ball in the back of the net. But you could tell he was busting a gut because he was tearing around. He spent too much time probably defending when he should have been more up front, but that was just his nature. You can always tell when a player is completely busting a gut and trying their all. And actually, I think you don't always get that. I'm not saying they're not trying. I wouldn't question that. I wouldn't dare question that because the club don't like it, obviously. And Brady kicked off about it. And he's managed to hoodwink the local press into sort of going along with it. Because I saw Hennigan tweet about it, Casey tweet about it, and Jake Sharp tweet about it as well. So they've been hoodwinked into this while they're trying. They're doing their best they can do and stuff. I just think...
Oh.
We lost him.
Somebody pulled the plug from the club.
Yeah. Gareth Wilshere is just there. Just nope.
Oh, he's back. Are you back, Neil?
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody pulled the plug on you then.
Yep. Was it you?
No. I don't know what happened. I think your internet cut out.
It's the council. Yeah, did. Yeah, it's the council. Yeah. I don't know where I was. Sorry. I'd gone off on a rant. Carry on.
It's fine. What you're saying about players like Ryan Gilligan, like Scott McLeish, I don't think those type of players really exist anymore.
Sam Hoskins.
I would argue Sam Hoskins, actually, yeah.
Yeah, Sam Hoskins is the only one in that squad that is like that. And in fairness, if you turned around to anybody and said, would you take a team full of Ryan Gilligans?
No, I'm not. But I'm not saying. I'm not saying you should, and I'm not saying that Ryan Gilligan is the solution. God no, and I'm not saying Sam Hoskins is the solution. Christ no. But you can see with those players, they've got limited ability. But you can tell, you can see they're giving their all, and after 90 minutes, you couldn't ever level at Sam Hoskins and say he's not giving his all. You could level at him, his final ball's not good enough, or whatever it may be. I understand that his ability. You could never level at Sam Hoskins that he isn't giving his all for the football club. I think when you look at some of the players on the pitch and I don't see him busting a gut. I don't see him, you know, chasing every last course. I don't see him rushing to get the ball as it goes off the touchline to get a quick throw and stuff. I just don't see that urgency or anything. It's just very mundane, relatively slow. And like your point about the post-match interviews, well, was it yours, Danny, I think, where you said, you know, they just didn't seem to, you know, well, you know, we've lost, we've given it our best and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. It just looks a bit like, you know.
I just want to sort of fight back a little bit and fight the corner of the players here a little bit, because I didn't watch the player interviews from post-match. I heard John Brady on the radio and that was enough for me, and I wanted to forget all about it until this point. But I would feel pretty depressed if it was me, having just lost any game. You know, I'm quite competitive. So I don't quite know what you want them to say. Unless you want them to, like, the one thing that you could maybe say, and that I would agree with you here, is that they would say, we're sorry, we've let you down, and it isn't good enough. That, I think, fine, I get it. But other than that, I don't really understand what more they could say. And the one thing that I will also do is, I do think that there are players that are trying. I do think Lloyd Jones, Fraser Horsfall, Michael Harriman, definitely. All of those are trying. Danny Rose, when he's on the pitch, he's like a Scott McLeish of now.
Disagree.
Without the goals. But he puts himself about. He wins headers. That's what Scott McLeish used to do. I just don't think that they are good enough. Sean McWilliams, he's definitely trying. I think Bryn Morris played really well in the first half on Saturday. I think they're trying. I just, like has been said, I just don't think they're good enough for this level. And they've been found out. The thing that annoys me about the narrative, going back to that, you know, they're committed narrative and they're trying their best kind of thing. Yes, I agree with you, Danny, that it's protecting the players. Because, you know, for whatever reason, they don't want to come out and just admit we're not good enough. Or at least we don't want to come out and say that like that. I think the other thing is it's putting up a bit of a smokescreen and it's protecting the club. It's protecting the club from the recruitment side of it, which we all know has been so bad. And that, you know, everything that's been, you know, done this season has been on the cheap. You know, and I think you look at it and you just kind of go, I appreciate that COVID was there. I appreciate that fans weren't allowed in the stadium, so there is a loss of revenue. I appreciate that the club lost money over the year before, you know, but it was a lot less than what they'd lost in the previous year to that. And yet, it almost feels like, to me, I'll be honest, and the way that I'm feeling right now, it feels like basically what happened was that the club went and said, we're not going to put any money into this. You're going to have a budget, but you're not going to be able to be competitive. You're not going to be able to go out there, Keith, and get the players that, you know, would actually make us, you know, a force to be reckoned with in League One. That's nonsense. That was never going to happen. But, you know, a team that was going to be comfortably looking to avoid relegation, which is what I think we should have done. I mean, personally, I look at it and I just sort of think there's no way that Keith Curl wanted to actually get rid of Jordan Turnbull. There's no way that he wanted to let Verdane Oliver go to Gillingham. I just don't see it.
So his
hands
that,
were tied.
Then?
His hands were tied by the fact that there wasn't the budget to give them. I can't believe that Verdane Oliver left because he wanted to play for Gillingham more than he wanted to play for us.
They went for money,
fine. Yeah, exactly. He went for money or the stability of a longer term contract.
I tell you what, I want to go and play for Steve Evans.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that I just think that, you know, a lot of stuff has been you know, rightly sort of thrown at Keith Curl's door and said, you know, that the tactics that he played weren't good enough and that it was awful to watch and, you know, all of this, that and the other. But he was doing what he, you know, this is my opinion, he was doing what he thought was the right way to get the best out of the players that he'd got. So I think, in a way, looking at it, Keith Curl probably went, this squad that I've got is awful. It's not good. So let's just play route one. Let's just make sure that we just clear our lines. If the ball's not in our 18-yard box, or, you know, even in within 30 yards of our goal, the opposition can't score. So I think that's what he was probably thinking, was let's just make sure that we don't concede. I mean, okay, it didn't work, but that's because we're not good enough. As he's now proved with us playing a slightly different style. I don't think it all has to come down to the manager. And the reason why I'm saying this is that it leads on to the fact of whatever happens at the end of this season, you know, it looks like we're definitely going to be in League Two next year. So whatever happens, I think if he gives, I think if John Brady gets the job, he gets it because there's no money.
Yeah, I agree.
And then what happens then is that John Brady's been given the job because there's no money to pay a manager that, you know, is maybe, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to John Brady whatsoever, but a manager that has managed in the Football League and has got a good reputation will cost money. Whereas John Brady won't cost anywhere near that because this is his first stint in the Football League. He's managed Brackley, hasn't he, before? And I think that might be it in terms of his management experience. So I just look at it and go with, if they're not going to pay money to the manager, they're not going to then put a budget that's there that's big enough to then go and buy players for John Brady to assemble a team that will then be able to compete at the top end of League Two.
John Brady's not the answer.
No, and I agree.
I like him.
I really do.
I think he's a nice guy. I think he should definitely be kept in and around the football club looking after the youth players and stuff. But essentially, he's not managed to get anything more out of these players than Keith Kerr was getting out of them. So
he's managed to get about two or three more passes before we give the ball away.
Yeah, it's slightly more attractive at times. But
yeah,
ultimately, end result is the same, really, isn't it? So I agree with you totally. Look, if it was me, well, it's not me, which is probably a good thing, but if it was me, I'd be going to Derek Adams and saying, right, what do you want? Come on. Come sort us out, please. He's at Morecambe at the minute, and I know he's got a contract there for another year or so, I think, but best will in the world. We are a bigger club than Morecambe, and I know Morecambe are doing pretty well in League Two and potentially can still go up automatically, can't they? But best will in the world, you know. That's Morecambe's ceiling, really, isn't it? And actually, the sad thing is it's our ceiling as well at the moment. So
yeah. I think the thing for us, and I don't know whether you agree, Matt, I mean, with this, it's very easy for me to sit here and to say that we should have spent more money. We should have given, what's it? Do you spend it to accumulate it or something?
I can't remember. To accumulate. That's it.
Thank you, Neil. Yeah. It's easy for me to turn around and say that because it's not my money. But I can't help but think that if you're serious about staying up in the next division, you have to put your hand in your pocket, don't you?
Yeah, I think it comes down to that point. Like, how much does Kelvin Thomas actually care about us being a kind of, I'll put this in quotation marks, sustainable League One club? Because we've gone into that, we've gone into the third tier twice and we've failed. All right, you know, we haven't quite failed this time, but it looks like we're going to fail for a second time. So, I mean, I know he put the money in the first time, but does he actually care enough to actually put enough money into the club and try and keep us in League One? Because that's kind of not what I'm getting. And I'm getting to the point where I am kind of just sitting here and thinking to myself, I don't really care about the fact we're getting relegated into League Two. And it should really hurt me. And it did last time. Probably because I knew the squad was good enough to probably stay up and the management wasn't particularly good and all that sort of stuff. But I'm at the point now where I'm like, do I really care that we're getting relegated to League Two? I thought the game on Friday night, I was obviously really, you know, pissed off and whatever that we'd lost to Peterborough. But I woke up Saturday morning, I was like, don't really care, to be honest. You know, there's just nothing that I can see at the minute. That there's no light at the end of the tunnel for me in terms of anything. Because we'll come back up, you know, whether it's in a year's time or 10 years' time, 5 years' time, whatever. And the same thing will happen again. And we're just going to keep going in this constant cycle. And I don't see anything that's going to change that unless we do what Neil said and, you know, get somebody that knows League One and League Two, that knows how to get out of League Two and stay in League One, which Keith Cole didn't even know how to get out of League Two, let alone even stay in League One. So, yeah, just like you said, just some money's got to be chucked at it, especially at the start of the season rather than halfway through like it was last time we got relegated.
Okay. Two things that I just want to pick up on from what you said there. So first of all, Matt, you said about how you don't think that Kelvin Thomas cares enough to put enough money in. Just want to, I don't know the answer to this question, but maybe he does care enough, but he just doesn't have the amount of money that he needs or that we would need. You know, he's basically saying his pockets aren't deep enough. I mean, I'm a little bit like that going, I don't know whether you can turn around and say that he doesn't care. I think it may just be a simple case of he does care, and if he could, then he would, but he doesn't have the money to be able to do that. Now, the one thing that comes from this is that we do not know whether that is right, i.e. we do not know how deep his pockets are, and that is a little bit of an issue, and that's what then causes people like yourself to say things like you've just said. You know, tell us. Don't know that.
But tell us that your pockets aren't deep enough. Last year we got promoted out of League One. We had this League Two, sorry. I wish we got promoted out of League One. We had this, you know, FA Cup money, all this sort of stuff. Tell us, we haven't got the budget to be competitive in League One. And then we can, you know, if we stay up, it's a massive achievement. If we go down, we go, okay, right, you told us at the start of the season that we probably weren't going to stay up. It comes no surprise to us that we've gone down. Maybe, yeah, that probably is a bit harsh that I've said he doesn't care. But, you know, you guys have all said, and most people that are listening will know that communication from the club has been pretty bad over, you know, forever, really. And I know they're probably not going to tell us something like that. And they're not going to say, oh, I don't think we're going to stay up. But like I said, I think if they just said that we don't, even if it's just we're not going to be as competitive as we want to be, then we might actually have an idea of where we're at.
The other point that you've led me straight there, Matt, so thank you very much. If you've listened to the account special, the football finance special that I did with Kieran Maguire of Price of Football podcast and book and everything, then one of the things that Kieran actually says, if you've not listened, do go and have a listen. It's there in your pod feeds now. One of the things that he said was that he mentioned Accrington, for example. He also mentioned Lincoln. I think Shrewsbury as well were another club that he talked about in the podcast. He talks about how they're very open and honest with the fan base. So, for example, just because it's the easiest one to take, let's go with Andy Holt at Accrington. If Accrington were to get relegated out of League One, Kieran doesn't believe that anybody would go and be calling for Andy Holt's head, because he is so open and transparent and talks to, you know, the fan base, you know, openly in a way that says, look, this is where we're at. This is essentially all we can do. We won't get any higher than where we're at based on the amount of money that we have as a football club and that I have as your owner or the owner of the football club. The fact that we're actually in League One and we're, you know, performing well, looking at even attempting to try and get into the playoffs sometimes throughout the season, then, I mean, that's amazing. That's more than we were expecting. So that therefore what happens is if they do get relegated, then the fans aren't going to be that upset about it. Of course they will be, but not like we are. There won't be any vitriol towards the owners. There won't be any kind of you're letting us down and you're not doing what you said you were doing and rah, 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 rah. And it's probably the same, Danny, with AFC Wimbledon as well. If they were to get relegated this season, I don't think their fans are going to turn on the ownership, considering that would be them turning on themselves, essentially. But there's that stuff with both of those clubs. There's stuff happening away from the actual pitch, away from the actual games, that is improvements to their infrastructure, to what's going on. Wimbledon have just moved back into, you know, their new stadium at Pyle Lane. Accrington are having, I think it's a stand that's being rebuilt or having something done to the stadium at the moment. You know, there's things going on that's where money is being invested that the fans can see. And I suppose we don't see that happening with the Cobblers.
I think you've pretty much hit it on the head. They can see it happening and there's stuff going up. There's stadiums being built. There's infrastructure being put in that people can physically see, whereas we're just sitting still with a half-built East Stand. And it's not the end of all the story. There's issue with those clubs you mentioned, Wimbledon and Accrington, that they probably do still think of themselves as pushing them above their weight a little bit in League One, whereas for some reason, like, and I'm guilty of it as anyone, we think of ourselves as a League One club and we should be in League One, or, and if not pushing in, you know, the aim is to try and get up to the top six and push for the championship. We've not been anywhere near it since like 98, have we? Apart from that.
Well, careful, Danny, because you'll be told that you're unambitious enough. And, you know, people will say that it's your fault. People like you, it's your fault that we're in this mess.
It's not about ambition. It's just like looking at it where we have been, and it's like there was a brief spell under Stuart Gray where it could all have come together and we could have pushed on for the championship, but then players get sold and all that. It's just something I think that just needs a reset, and it needs us to physically see something happening to re-engage with the club again. And it's been a tough, tough year. The club have done some really good things off the pitch, but I think it's coming to a point now where we're just not seeing it like at all. And we've had such a bad season that it becomes even more frustrating. I think, you know, Keith Cole was probably his own worst enemy because he got a lot out of the players that he had. He got them promoted when he probably shouldn't have done. And then, you know, he's let some of them go, and the recruitment in the summer was horrible, and it was a downfall since then. I think we just need a complete and utter club reset, because like Matt said, it's looking at it going down and thinking, okay, we're going down. Not like we were at Leeds that time when we were all sat in the corner of Ellen Road just like with our heads in our hands and like bawling our eyes out because we've gone down. It's not that situation. We're just like, okay, you know, we deserve it. We deserve to go down. And that's the sad thing. The apathy is sometimes a lot worse than actually caring so much, isn't it?
You mentioned there that there is a lot of community stuff that was good last year throughout the pandemic and the lockdown in 2020. And I don't want to obviously dismiss that at all, because it was really good. However, one thing that I'm going to say here is that was done by the community trust. Essentially, it's by the charity arm of the club, isn't it? The community trust. That's essentially what they are. It's not the same.
Yeah, no, that's true.
As good as it is, as good as that work is, and as much as I want that to continue and I want us to celebrate that stuff, that's not the same kind of stuff as we're talking about, as, you know, we've said that Accrington do, Shrewsbury do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I completely get that, because they're like the community trust of the people that are out there, and they're seeing the fans day in, day out. They're seeing the schools. They're seeing, you know, players going to visit schools and doing sessions. They're visiting all kinds of places around the town, and they're actually seeing the people that will come and eventually support us, hopefully. Whereas there seems to be that disconnect between the actual ownership and the community that will back you and that you want to back you. And I know that's a massive difference living in America and all that kind of thing, but there should surely be a way to convert that into something a bit more positive in terms of direct sort of contact with the people that are coming hopefully when we get back in grounds, and you know, there's legacies there to build on.
Do you enjoy It's All Cobblers to Me? Do you want more Cobblers related podcast content and to feel all warm and fuzzy inside? Well, now you can sign up to support the podcast on Patreon. From as little as £2 per month, you'll receive access to additional content such as Q&As, meetups, A Night of Passion with Neil, merchandise, and bonus episodes. And you'll be supporting us to keep bringing you a weekly podcast about the biggest and best football team in the world of Northampton. Go to patreon.com/cobblers to me right now. One Night with Neil may not be passionate to the naked eye and may require years of counselling afterwards, for which we are not liable.
I mean, that actually leads us on quite nicely, I think, to a new initiative, shall we call it, from some of the fans or from a couple of people that I've seen. Neil, you know more about this than I do. I think they're calling it the New Hotel End and Music Festival, I think. I've got that wrong, haven't I, mate?
Yeah, I think
Charles just sounded like the grandpa trying to.
Sorry.
What is this
sort of music?
I've got Octic or something going on.
I should have written it down and I didn't. I'm really sorry.
It's essentially what it is an idea at the moment, I think. And it's a good idea. And it's something that I think should be welcomed. And it's something that I think should be certainly looked at. And part of where it comes from, I guess, is my view, and this is just a personal view, by the way. It's not the view of this podcast or you, Charles. I wouldn't speak for the podcast or anything, but my personal view is there does seem to be a bit of a can't do that attitude. Generally about the football club. I'm not necessarily calling that out directly to the football club, but in general, just a bit of a can't do that. And this is one of those things where I think we should look at it and go in sort of open-eyed, really. And the idea, I think, it's come from Tom Reid, hasn't it? Essentially, I don't think it's just Tom Reid's idea, but he's essentially the driving force behind it at the moment. And the kind of the statement that was released. So this was presented. I know Tom presented this to the Football Trust last Thursday.
Supporters Trust, get the name right.
Sorry, the Supporters Trust, yeah. Last Thursday. Christ, that'll get me in trouble. The Supporters Trust last Thursday. And it was not presented as this is everything, this is the whole idea, this is how it's going to work or anything like that. It was we think there's something in this. Essentially, what we're just looking at is your approval for us to look at it in a bit more depth and try and get some stuff down in a bit more concrete planning and then go back to them and have a conversation about them. And I think the statement that was released by Standing at Six Fields or at Stand Six Fields was a landmark safe standing new hotel end, safe standing for the under 16s to draw in the next generation of fans, an active plan to increase capacity, grow the fan base and improve match atmosphere, an outdoor live music venue to be used by the club for income outside of match days too, the regeneration of NTFC by live music and fan culture, in particular the thriving indie guitar band scene locally and nationally, home match days as mini festivals with a state-of-the-art fans village, live music, street food and local beers, revitalising the image of NTFC and attracting notable sponsors. There's a lot there, and how that happens and how that's made to work, who knows yet? That's not the point, right? The point is, if we could click our fingers, I personally think anyway, if we could click our fingers and say, we've got all that now, it would be bloody fantastic. And which for me, as a supporter of the football club and a supporter of the football club that enjoys the match day experience when it's a good match day experience, then I'm all for it. And actually, I think if you look at some of the stuff that's in there, is eminently achievable. You've just got to look slightly further down the road at the Six Fields Mill, where they have the Bite Street events. It's achievable. That's not a particularly nice location for it, if I'm brutally honest. It could be done a lot better in a lot more different way. There's loads of stuff in there. I think it's worth looking at, and I think it's worth people being open to this sort of thing, because essentially my view, and I've not always been open and viewed this sort of thing, but my view is, all right, fine, well, if the club aren't going to make any changes, let's try and do it ourselves.
Yeah, I do like the idea. I like the fact, I mean, if you take what is already happening or was happening before we weren't allowed to go anymore, there's the DJ outside of Cars Bar on the decking, which has always drawn a bit of a crowd and has always lifted the atmosphere a bit and has certainly made, I think, more people actually use Cars Bar just by looking at it. I've got no facts or stats to back that up. It's just when you sort of look, there's always a lot more people, it seems, when there's a DJ on out there. But you've also then got the, were they having another DJ or was it a band every now and again that was behind the North Stand?
Yeah, there's been a band there occasionally, hasn't there?
So, I mean, realistically, all they're talking about, that's a bit disparaging. I didn't mean it like that. But they're looking to expand on stuff that is actually already working. So I think that's a good thing. It's not like it's a pie in the sky, brand new idea. This is actually something that, well, we've already got something that is showing that it's working and showing that it's wanted as well. Because I think that's always one of the big things, isn't it? Is that you've got to kind of show that these things are wanted by the people that are going to actually do it. And I do agree, actually, that for me, when I go to a home game, when I was a kid, I was going with my dad and we had a season ticket. Me and my dad used to leave home at about 2 o'clock. I was always really excited to get to the ground and to then soak in the atmosphere. I always wanted to get there earlier. I always wanted to go earlier than, 2 o'clock. I wanted to be there earlier. I wanted to get to the ground and be there to really take it all in. It wasn't just the 90 minutes. Nowadays, I tend to, if I'm going to go to the game, if I'm going to go early, then it's to meet one of you guys in the pub beforehand.
Yeah.
And that's not in Carsbar. That's in, the Six Wheels Tavern or wherever it might be. It might even be to actually go and meet people in town, and go and have a couple of drinks in the town centre and then walk through or get a taxi or the bus down to the stadium, whatever it is. I'm not really bothered about being at the stadium that early.
And that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you think about it, right, and if you look at the Friday night just gone, right, we were playing Peterborough away, big game, big local derby, big game in terms of our season. Where did Mike and Rich go from the Slack channel? Where did they go?
Dustin something, wasn't it?
Dustin, yeah.
Dustin Mill.
Dustin Mill, yeah.
Other pubs are available.
Well, that's not a pub.
Isn't it?
No. It's a mill. Damn it, it's in the title.
it's near Sixfields. They went to Dustin Mill. They gave them their money. They watched the game on their iPad. Imagine they could have gone to Sixfields and done that, and the money could have gone to the club. Imagine how many more people would have done it. And I know at the moment it's difficult because of COVID, but that sort of thing. And if you've got a thriving fans village, and I hark back to Dave Banana in Plymouth.
Yes, I was just going to bring him up.
I know. I hark back to him, but that. It was a Tuesday night when we went in there and it was buzzing. It was brilliant. It was such a lovely, it felt like somewhere I would want to be before a game with fellow supporters, having a good few drinks, listening to Dave Banana, listening to a live band, having a good time. And that's essentially a large part of what this is. But then the other part of it is as well is, look, how are we going to draw in and attract the next generation of fans? And part of that is looking at safe standing as well, which... that's going to become more and more prevalent in clubs throughout the league. And I think at some point we were looking at it and had a chance to be one of the front runners. And then we've fallen by the wayside a little bit, haven't we? So I think.
I think the club decided that it wasn't the way to go because they had some negative feedback apparently from some season ticket holders in the North Stand.
Yeah. And that, I mean, who knows how many season ticket holders that was. Maybe it was 5, maybe it was 100, I'd question the forward thinking of, if we get a bit of negative feedback, well, we better not do anything then. Well, hold on a minute. We'll leave everything the same, shall we? And not bother with anything. I think there's something in that as well, personally. It's we've said all along, haven't we? I know when we've discussed sort of redeveloping the ground and stuff, just lob another tier on the North Stand and lob another tier on the South Stand, right? It's that's what those stands are built for. And I know it costs money and I get all that sort of thing and stuff, but that is a really simple way of doing it. And so it's just for me, I think it's something that I'm at that point personally, where I think we should look at this sort of stuff and I think we should have an open mind about it. And also I think that fans and groups of fans should work together on this stuff, because in the past, there's a lot of infighting, a lot of anger and a lot of people throwing abuse at each other and all that sort of stuff. And I just think we should get past that to try and move the club forward, because essentially the club's not moved forward for a hell of a long time now. And it probably isn't going to go back to the point about Kelvin Thomas and whether he cares or not. I think he does care, but I suspect, and I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything, I suspect he's probably at the end of his tether a little bit of listening to the sort of shit he gets from us, from me, from everyone on Twitter and all that sort of stuff. He probably doesn't need that hassle, really, but he's obviously got himself to a point where he's got to keep going through with everything to try and recoup a little bit of money back or whatever it works and stuff. And that's just me spitballing, obviously. I don't know if that's actually true, but so I think he probably does care, but I don't think he has the finance and the ability to kind of take us to the next level. And if we can do something about that to try and improve the experience, which in turn improves and sort of draws extra fans into the club and keeps them around as well. Because I had a conversation with Tom Reed last week, and I was saying that I take my kids. And Danny, I know when you go to games, you take yours. And the experience isn't particularly great for them, if I'm brutally honest. And that's not to say that the club don't do a good job of the match day experience with what they've got at their disposal. They do. And they do care about the youngsters, and they've got the family area and they get players down there and they've got that little bit. But if we're being brutally honest, it's a little bit shit. Let's not dress it up in any way, shape or form. It's a little bit shit because of the surroundings and because of where it is. It's, it's a little bit just outside the East End that they're sort of cornered off and stuff. They're doing the best they can with what they've got available to them. But best will in the world, is that going to make my kids, when I take them, is that going to make them think, oh, I'd love to come back here, this is brilliant? No, it doesn't. If I'm honest, it doesn't at all. In fact, they actually say, can we sit in the West End instead? It's a better view. So I just think all that sort of stuff needs looking at. And for me, I'm fully behind this sort of thing. Let's start having a look at stuff. And I don't know how we raise the money for it. That's all beyond me. I don't know how, we work with branding or infrastructure projects or anything like that. But I do think it's worth fans being open-minded to this sort of stuff, because what's the other option? We just sort of sit along and go along and say, well, same old, isn't it?
Mm. I think the big thing with all of this is, from the stuff that I've seen about it, is that it comes from the fans themselves, and that makes a massive difference. I think when you're putting on something like that, you're creating these music events and gigs before games and building the atmosphere and stuff. It sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like it comes from the fans making it, and that sends a much different message than the club plonking something out and hoping it works. Like, the best things always work if it comes from within the fan base and people who care about the club. Tom Cliff, like what he does for the club and stuff,
on
a voluntary basis, because he's so passionate about the club. If stuff like this happens, people volunteer to do stuff. I know it would, because they would be passionate about the club as well, and they want to be involved in a match day. They want to be involved in setting this thing up and feel a part of it, feel part of the building. And I think that's the part that we haven't really got as a club. We haven't got the fans building with the chairman, building with the ownership. We've got the ownership doing as best he can to put something out there, but not really feeling like we're bringing the fans with us at the moment, which I think this looks pretty positively like it might do. So yeah, fingers crossed.
And I think that actually comes back to that whole, being open and transparent. between the football club and the fans. And I think, like, so one of the things that, when we started the podcast back in 2018, that was around about the sort of time that the club and the supporters trust just decided that they weren't going to talk to each other very well. And, it was all going a bit tits up, for want of a better expression, with that. It seems like this year, the two parties there have reached some sort of amicable agreement where they're now happily talking to each other once again, which is great. And I think it's things like this that actually you need to just have that two-way conversation and that openness. And, I've been critical of the trust in the past, and I've been critical of the club as well. I think that the trust should be taking ideas like this, and I'm really pleased that they not only listened to what, I presume it was Tom that presented it to them at the meeting. Last week, yeah. But they've not only just listened to him, but they've also then assigned one of the trust board members, I think it's Keith, I say assigned, you go do that.
That's his assignment.
one of the board members has said, you know what, I like what you're saying here, Tom. I'm going to, work with you. keep talking to you about it. Let's see what we can do going forward. I know Shane has also offered, you know, his help through the company that he has is a marketing agency. So he's perfectly there for like brand awareness campaigns and all this, that and the other. That's really good. So I like the thought, and I can see that having that kind of thing happening is really good. Now what we need, of course, is for, and I appreciate this is very early stages, so I'm not pretending that we can walk or run before we could walk here. But, you know, what we now need is the communication between the trust, if you like, if they're going to be the kind of spearhead, if you like, for this campaign or to talk on behalf of Tom's idea. There needs to be that open two-way communication between somebody and the football club, so that therefore there can be a conversation where things can be, and also it needs to be one of those where it isn't just, well, we can't do this because. It needs to be, okay, we can't do it that way, but what if we do it this way? And actually looking at ways. So rather than just going, no, there's this stumbling block in the road, or there's a proper roadblock there that we're not going to do. Instead of basically look for solutions as to how we can actually move it forward. Because I do sometimes feel like that's a bit of what happens. Suggestions are made to the football club and you get the answer back. So for example, we asked them about, was it at the fans forum, where somebody sent a question in and asked about the marquee that had been used for the beer festival last season. And the club basically turned around and just went, yeah, but it costs money.
Yeah.
And that was it. And there was no like, there was a half-hearted, if you like, or maybe not half-hearted, but there was that thing that always happens for me if I ever ask my dad to do something and he doesn't want to do it. He'll just sort of go, yeah, we'll see. There's no more discussion. It's just, yeah, we'll see. And then what happens is that you never talk about it ever again. And it doesn't happen.
Well, I reached out to the club before I spoke to Tom about all of this stuff, and I was specifically asking about a marquee. And now a marquee is very small fry compared to
John Marquee.
John Marquee, yeah, it's a very small idea compared to, you know, what Tom's talking about, a complete overhaul, which I'm fully behind. The club did say, when I spoke to them, I'm sure they won't mind me saying, they said they're certainly happy to discuss a marquee, but they did say on a smaller scale to help improve the match day experience and would welcome any suggestions, which does dictate, or does sort of say to me, they're open to conversations about this sort of thing, which is a good starter, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's all we really want for now, isn't it? We want to have those lines of communication to have been opened, and for it to, you know, the next stage of that will be to actually then see things happening. Because it's very easy to talk about it. Completely going off on a tangent here, but myself and Nick at home, we've for years.
You getting a marquee?
We've done a lot of talking about the things that we'd like to do in the house, you know, like a new kitchen, or we'd get, you know, an extension done, or whatever it is. We're very good at talking about doing it, but we never go and do it. The actual action never happens. So that's what I want to see, and I know it's not going to be tomorrow, next week, next month, but, you know, over the course of the next short-term period, I would like to see things actually happening. And, you know, actually, if you think about it, the beginning of next season will, touch wood, everybody, that we're going to be back in, you know, but...
You touch wood.
It would be a really, really great time for it to, you know, be bells and whistles. Let's make positive changes and positive strides. Let's start that, you know, welcoming the fans back in with a bang. And it's not just, okay, the turnstiles are open and in we go, and it's the same old, same old.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to get to it that quickly, if I'm brutally honest. I think
not in terms of that, the whole thing. But wouldn't it be great if there was something?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think I echo your point. You know, I hate to see things spoken about. And I mean, I'm the same. I do it at home as well. Well, we should do this with a house. Or maybe we did that in the garden. We've been talking about that for 3 years. We still haven't done it. that's what happens, right? But actually, I think this is where we as and I don't mean just mean us as four, but I mean as a fan base, that's where we can probably help make a bit of a difference by backing this sort of thing and being more open. Because one of the things which, and we're all guilty of it, myself included, is to ridicule stuff straight away and think, well, no, can't do that. Never going to happen. And actually, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's the situation with the football club, I don't know what it is. Something's made me sort of change my view a little bit in terms of, well, actually, we should have a can-do attitude and let's try and do stuff. And hey, you know, look, if it's not achievable for whatever reason, if you can hold your hands up and say we've investigated every avenue possible and it's just not quite achievable for X, Y, and Z, and they're insurmountable problems, fine, then pivot away and look at something slightly different. Do you know what I mean? Don't give up at that point. Pivot to something slightly different. Like you're saying, Charles, okay, well, we can't do it quite like this, but actually we could do, you know, A, B, and C, but we can't quite do D, E, and F. It's that sort of thing, isn't it? It's just that can-do attitude. And you're right. It's the lines of communication with the club. And I think to give the club their due, you know, they are open to ideas. They're open to conversations about this sort of stuff. And they have to be, I think, because if they're not, then they run the risk of losing some fans, right? And losing that link to some fans as well. That's obviously, you know, it's fans come and go, and generally our level of fan base generally stays the same. But that's the point, isn't it? We're trying to grow that and trying to increase that to improve the club overall. And I just think, you know, we should look at it and we should get involved. And people shouldn't ridicule it, because, you know, we've ridiculed stuff in the past. Myself vocally, and probably wrongly so at times, to the extent I did, but sometimes stuff does need calling out, and this is one of those things which I don't think needs calling out. It's one of those things which I think is a massive positive and something we should definitely get behind. And I'll see you next season, Charles, standing on the new hotel end after listening to Richard Bacon,
Peter Orange.
Peter Orange as compare.
Why?
Alan Aubergine.
Jerry Mango.
Oh, brilliant.
Mungo Jerry.
Elizabeth Sausage.
But it's funny. He's like, to your point, Elizabeth. to your point, Charles, about, you know, look, obviously, Shane's offered to help out with branding, and the club have sent Keith on an assignment, as you called it. But already you've got on Twitter, you know, people, you know, shouting out like Wazza or Gib Cobbler, is it? Or Jib Cobbler? I don't know how you pronounce it. But he's already said, oh, my lad's got a band. They'd love to make an appearance, proper indie band and stuff. You've got all things like that. So anything you could do to bring the fan base closer and bring and improve the fans. Like, because actually, if you think about it as well, when as supporters do we have the best time? It's usually away from home we're all in the same place.
Yeah.
Be that a pub or in Dave Banana's Marquee or whatever it may be. We're all having a few drinks. We're all having a bit of a sing-song.
Get Dave Banana up here.
Get him. Transfer request.
Get him in.
Get him in a sing-off with Slow Tie.
Oh, dear.
There you go, see?
What a... Oh my word. I mean, I'll be honest, right? I mean, I'm not the greatest Slow Tie fan, but, you know, my head will bop and my feet may tap.
My head will bop!
I'm just thinking, if you're trying to attract the next generation of Cobblers fans,
people might enjoy like Slow Tie, so you never know.
I'm not sure Iris is going to particularly appreciate a bit of Slow Tie.
Oh, she loves a bit of Slow Tie.
I think the music is almost secondary, right? I think it's
it's the atmospheric,
the atmosphere and the experience. Yeah, look, I mean, I'm not particularly a big Slow Tie fan either. Give me a bit of Spice Girls over Slow Tie any day of the week. But lots of people love that sort of music, right? And
Matt's like, who the bloody hell are the Spice Girls?
Yeah, Spice Girls. I was just trying to think of some sort of song that they sing, but I can't think of any. But I know who they are. Don't worry.
When to become one, if you need some love like you never needed love before.
Yeah, baby. Right, we'll have to stop singing that before we get sued for.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Crimes Against Music.
Neil's yes. available. Neil's available for bookings.
So yeah, I think it's a really good idea. Things to definitely talk about, and that's the stage that they're at, isn't it? It's just talking, but you know, let's collate some ideas. And
yeah, that's the point, right? It's not a. There's nothing set in stone. There's no sort of blueprints or anything like that at the moment, but on the face of it, the idea is a good idea, and it's something that I think should happen. So, you know, and the amount of local street food places there are that would be willing to rock up, and the amount of local beers there are as well that would be like, it would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Like, in theory, if you get it right, you could essentially put the Walter Toll and the Six Fields Tavern pretty much out of business on match day if you get it right.
You want to work with them together. You don't want it. Let's just go back a bit there, because I don't want us to say that we'll put anybody out of business.
No, let's put them all out of business, Charles.
It's all right. They'll have that one Saturday a year when we're on that they'll get back in business again.
Right.
Live pod Saturday.
Live pod Saturday.
You're probably right, though. Working together makes more sense.
Yeah, just work together with and look, because that's one of the things, isn't it? Is that if you put something like that on down around Six Fields, around the stadium, it's going to draw more people towards the stadium, which is great because we want more people in the stands watching the game, buying a ticket, buying a match shirt, you know, and all this, that, and the other programs, and you know, all this other stuff that's extra revenue for the football club. That's exactly what we want. But what it will also do is it will help the economy of Northampton, not just in Six Fields, you know, so, you know, therefore Taco Bell and KFC and anybody else that would like to sponsor the podcast, then do get in touch. It's allcobblers@gmail.com. Or, you know, whatever the pubs are, you know, it will drive and pull people in to the area, and it will also pull people into the town, because then what you'll get is that, like we've talked about Plymouth, you go on about Dave Banana and you want to go, like Wickham are another great example. I mean, it's been years since I went to Wickham away, but they have that great big marquee outside. It's something that I actually, you know, I'd look forward to going if we were going to be playing Wickham at some point. You'd want to get there early. It would be something where you would actually turn around and go, do you know what? That's a fab away day. Let's go. And
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we did our, when it was lockdown last year, we did our favourite away games, didn't we? And I mentioned Wickham. People were scoffing a bit, but that's exactly why.
Yeah.
Because of that experience of it all.
And because they're the one game, the infamous handball game. Do you remember?
Handball!
Every 5 seconds for literally 90 minutes from every Wickham fan. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think there's some great ideas. Moving on, because I want to finish the podcast on a really positive note this week. And thankfully, thanks to NTFC Women's Team, we have exactly that, don't we, Danny? Because... they did us proud today. We're recording on Sunday. They won 9-1.
9-1.
In their first...
Vinnie Printer.
Yeah.
Spell it out.
N-I-N-E.
Second different scorers, Charles, as well.
It was, yeah. And it's in their first competitive match back since lockdown. It's in the Trevor Clifton Trophy, which I have found out is a cup competition that has been put together by the league. So... the league that the women are in has been curtailed early because of COVID. Again, that's all been done. So there is no more league season left to play, or no fixtures left to play. That will start again in the new season, so September time, August, September. And instead, the league have put on a brand new competition called the Trevor Clifton Trophy. And it's a league format in the first round. And the top two teams for each little mini league will go into a cup. And then the bottom two of the group will go into the plate competition. So if you've ever watched Rugby Sevens, then that's pretty much what they do, is that there's two competitions after
rugby.
And the first round groups have been done geographically. So NTFC Women's Group includes Obi and Wigston Ladies,
who
we've just thrashed 9-1 today.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. And Thrapston are in there. And the other team are some blue nose wankers from down the other side of the Nen.
Right.
So Does the Nen go that far? No.
No. It reaches the sea, Charles.
Does it?
All rivers reach the sea, don't they?
No, that's true. Yeah, okay, you've got me there. Fair point.
Our very own Abby Bruin got 2 assists, Charles.
He did. Well done, Abby. Love it.
Basically ran the game.
Started on the bench as well, didn't she?
Name it. Didn't need 90 minutes to do a thing, does she?
No. So the goals came from Leah Cadone got 2. Brown, Mumford, Bartlett, Bilness, Partridge, and rounding it off with another 2 was Cooper.
I genuinely thought for a moment that was someone's actual name when you started that reading off all those scores.
One name.
Yeah, I was like, what? 9-1's a hell of a victory, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's showing that they are just ruthless. It's lovely.
Play down at Harpole?
They do.
I was there today.
Did you watch it?
No, I was refereeing just in Harpole under 16s, and I think that the Cobbers women were away, weren't they? So I kind of like, I was like, oh, I'm at Harpole, I might get to see a bit of the action, but they were away, so I didn't.
Yeah. A shout out to Bethany Cox as well, Charles, player of the match on her first appearance. I think she was in the development squad last week and she's come in and obviously put in a good performance. Well done.
Fabulous.
With a clap.
So,
there's nothing else to clap about. So.
Well, the only thing to clap about at the minute.
Get him in.
So, that's a really, really strong positive, I think, to end the pod on. Oh, apart from, so last week, after Neil found your blog down.
Oh, no, there's no time for that.
Well, we've been inundated.
Have we? We got 2 emails rather than 1 of them.
People up and down the land.
Both from me, Danny. Just under a different name.
So Danny, Neil has found another one of your blogs. And I think it'd be perfect to go out on a bit of story time.
I'm happy to. I've found what Danny has called what won't happen in 2014. I'll jump straight to February. Danny has put Sven Goran Eriksson in charge of Cobblers.
Oh, last week wasn't he in charge of a Swedish team, Mamonte Bayo?
He seems to have a strong Sven Goran Eriksson.
who's that? My go-to manager. Yeah. Wait, who do I need?
get him in.
Svenigans.
So he has Sven's first game in charge, a trip to Cheltenham Town. Luke Guttridge produces a carbon copy of his goal in the playoffs to give the Cobblers a crucial 1-0 win. However, Jima runs onto the pitch thinking that we've just made it to Wembley, but is restrained and given a 10-month banning order from all UK stadiums for inappropriate use of an umbrella. And then,
do you know what? I always think that. Do you remember the Avengers? Not the new ones with Iron Man and all that. Do you remember the Avengers with John Steed and Diana Rigg was the one of the and Joanna Lumley as well? I think was in it as well. Do you remember Steed's umbrella was also a gun?
Is that what Jima's is?
I always think that that's what Jima is. Just John Steed.
I like that. I like that. Danny does continue. Do you want a bit more?
I do. I want it all.
Careful. Sven, what I forgot to mention actually, in January, Sven had actually signed Emil Heskey and Malcolm Christie.
Amazing.
For the Cobblers.
Finally.
In a swoop.
Swoop.
Unfortunately, Emil Heskey quickly succumbed to the injury curse as he fell down the Six Fields bank on the way to the home game with Plymouth Argyle. In an even crueler twist of fate, Heskey rolled right onto Malcolm Christie, who was on his way to pick up the pre-match snacks from Mega Bowl. Sven is forced to dip into the free transfer market, and Paul Huberts gets a surprise phone call in the middle of his Valentine's Day meal with his wife to invite him to return to Six Fields for a few months. Huberts readily accepts and says he'll be here by the end of the month once he's gained full fitness by jogging all the way from Denmark.
Amazing.
So there we go. Big Paul fan.
Get him in.
He would. Yeah, he would. He kind of go on with... There's an interesting story. I'm not going to go into great detail, but there's an interesting story about Sven-Göran Eriksson's secret affair with 20-year-old Miss Northampton 2014.
Oh.
So that goes on. Andy King since returns as well in April.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. And then you've basically, essentially what you've done, Danny, is you've recreated the Pat Gavin off his backside goal. However, you've used Paul Huberts as Pat Gavin.
I love it.
There you go.
I absolutely love it. Brilliant. That's a lovely way to end the podcast this week. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that. Danny, if you want to hear more of Danny's blog, everybody, then do let us know. Send us an email. It's allcobblers@gmail.com or send us a tweet @cobblers2me. We're also on Facebook. Search us as you would do anywhere else on there. And also, if you go to our website, cobblers2me.com, you'll notice that we do a little blog every single time to go along with each podcast. And we're starting up doing, well, I say we, I am starting up. I'm doing a little bit more. Normally, I give you a little bit of like what I'm feeling and it's just a little bit of me. But for the preview shows from now on, we're going to have a proper match preview. So like we don't give you a proper match preview. Let's be honest. Myself and Danny just come in, talk nonsense, and then have a bit of banter with the opposition fans, unless they're from Peterborough, where I basically sit there and cry as they talk. But every other time, we have a bit of fun, and we get to know about the other club that we're about to lose to at the weekend. So you'll find an actual proper match preview that I'm writing and putting together on cobblers2me.com. So do go and check that out. And of course, thank you very much for all of our Patreon supporters. I had a lovely old time over the weekend on the Slack channel, but I think we were all feeling a bit, weren't we, on Friday. But it was lovely to see both Mike and Rich, two of our Patreon supporters. Mike put on the Slack, didn't he, that he was going to go and watch the game in the beer garden. And he invited everybody that wanted to go down to go with him. Obviously, rule of six applied. Rich turned up with Mike and his kids. They watched the match, had a couple of beers to drown their sorrows. That was lovely. So for more of that kind of communal get-togethering, then head over to patreon.com/cobblers2me. For as little as £2 a month, you can support the podcast and also get loads of additional content, such as our interview with Abby Bruin from last month. And also you get early access to any of our player interviews or any other interviews that we may be doing over the coming weeks and months.
And we will give free access to Danny's blog.
Oh, free access to the blog.
I've just found one, maybe one for next week, but a masterstroke or a risk too far, analysing the signing of John Joe O'Toole.
Oh, that's brilliant. Tune in next week to hear that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Friday for the preview show. Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.